You are listening to a podcast by Reverend Didi Arikakith from the United Methodist Wesley Foundation Campus Ministry in Tucson, Arizona.
What's the hardest thing that you guys can imagine forgiving someone for? Murdering a family member. Betrayal by a close friend.
Terrorism.
It's both physical and psychological. Mental trauma. Any others? As a history major, I cannot help but think like Holocaust and apartheid. Are you guys familiar with apartheid? What was going on in South Africa for almost 50 years? Essentially, it was a system of racial segregation. It's where the white Afrikaner minority rule was officially the government policy from 1948 until 1994. And, you know, there was colonization before, but here it actually became official policy. And people were forcibly removed from where they were living. They took family land, their homes, wealth was redistributed, all by the color of their skin. Now, Nelson Mandela, which is the first president elected to a fully democratic representative government, was imprisoned in 1962. He was convicted, I say wrongly, of sabotage and sentenced to life. And after 27 years, the world really pushed on them to release him from jail. And he was finally set free in 1990 and then became president in 94. Now, in Invictus, we are seeing Morgan Freeman playing Nelson Mandela. And maybe I'm getting over my Clint Eastwood issue because he directed the film. The movie is really about rugby, but not really about rugby. It's about forgiveness. And here is a man wrongly in prison all these years, now urging the people of South Africa to forgive almost 50 years of white oppression and tyranny within months. Could you do that? You received a lack of education, lack of jobs, really no hope of bettering your life. Your voice was stifled, and if you spoke up against any of this, you were put in prison. Would you befriend these people? Work alongside them like nothing ever happened? No, that's cool. I totally understand. You took my land. We're good. If you have been around me long enough, you've heard me say that forgiveness is not necessarily for the one who did the wrong deed. It is often needed more for the one who was wronged, in order for them to let go of the anger and the hurt and the frustration and move on. I think that this is what this clip is about. Last week, a former Wesley student, Jessica Goad, called me and told me she passed her exams for commissioning as a minister. And I have to tell you, that's really exciting to me to see Wesley students then go on, and now they're going to be like colleagues, and they're going to be ministers alongside me. Very cool. But I was reminded, actually, of the papers that I wrote to be a minister. And you have this probationary set of papers you write right out of seminary, and then 3 years later, you do this ordination set, and it's essentially for like tenure. Now, the second set wants you to talk more about how these theological principles really play out in your ministry day to day. In other words, the first set, they ask you to explain sin. The second set wanted me to identify it. And pretty much I can name it, like that guy, second pew on the right. But it's true. I mean, it's awful, but it's true. Even in our parishes, we see people who hate their brother across the aisle or in the other service. And still, we believe we're in Christ's mind. As 1 John says from our scripture tonight, they were blinded by sin too much to notice. Sin, amongst many things, is the inability to forgive. Now, one of these ladies in my oral examination at that board asked me how forgiveness plays a role in my ministry. One, I hope the congregation forgives me when I make mistakes. But I also know, too, I must forgive all of them when they do as well. As the body of Christ, we're all a community. We're all still human. So yes, even pastors make mistakes. Pastors, leaders, chair sitters, we're all fallible. Now, if we're upset with one another, as the scripture says, we must speak up and forgive. Because if we don't, we cannot move on. Now, for me, forgiveness comes at this table. Yes, it comes to all of us, but it's where I feel I'm almost forced to forgive anyone, and forced in a good way. Sometimes we harbor things around with us that we really can let go of, and we just keep them around like an old sock or some momentum, but we have no real reason to keep it around. At this table, I cannot no longer allow myself to carry a grudge or even knock my own self around for making a mistake. I cannot serve communion and offer all of you forgiveness, the forgiveness of Christ, if I'm unable to change my own heart. Why? Why? Leading by example? But we did it tonight. Who led the example? Morgan Freeman. I'm going to go with Lord's Prayer. You guys heard the Lord's Prayer before? Forgive us our... as we forgive those who... So, yes, leading by example, but I'm not the leader in this scenario, nor the example that's set. As we, I think, is a really interesting phrase. For me, it kind of means simultaneously, that this is happening, and so therefore we must also do so at that same time. If we come forward wanting to be forgiven, then we must also lay down our own grievances and let go. You can't be washed clean of sin if you're still carrying around sin with grudges and planning a revenge right after dinner. Invictus. Anyone know where that comes from? Okay, so it comes from a Latin term meaning unconquerable, undefeated. And the movie title actually comes from a poem in 19th century English. But when I hear it, knowing Invictus means undefeated, I remember that example, the true example in my life as a Christian, who was undefeated. Jesus Christ knew about all the ways you could be wronged. He was convicted, killed, but resurrected. But he came back, his life, undefeated, and died not only for those who rallied with him in the garden, like we talked about last week, but for all those even who convicted him. And if he can do that, what can you do? Our leader, example, Jesus Christ, by salvation, by example. Who's with him?